Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Live with Lon. We're so excited that you're with us today. And as we lead up to the Christmas season, we're very excited to be studying. What do we study? Tell me now. The Bible. Come on. The whole Bible and nothing but the Bible. And then we apply it to our life. What a great thing to be doing as we approach Christmas this year. So, today we are continuing in John chapter 9, wonderful chapter of the Bible, amazing chapter of the Bible, with one of my very favorite characters in all the Bible, the man who was born blind. We don't actually know his name. Okay, so we're ready. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the opportunity to open the eternal Word of God and study the Word of God. And we pray that, Lord, you would open our hearts today and that you would allow us to comprehend deep in our soul the message that you want to communicate to us today about the approval of man versus the approval of God, the approval of people versus the approval of God. So, Lord Jesus, speak to us deeply today. We commit our time in the Word of God to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, come on, what'd you say? Amen. And what? Amen. You got it. Now, let's review a tiny bit in the Gospel of John before we dig in today. If you remember, the Gospel of John begins with a man who was born blind, whom Jesus said was not born blind because of any sin he committed or his parents committed, any egregious sin, but because God planned to display his power and to display his majesty in this man's life by healing him and making him be able to see again. And this is exactly what Jesus did. He spit on the ground, took it and made clay out of the spittle, the Bible says, put it in the man's eyes, told him to go wash at the pool of Siloam, and the man by faith went, believing that Jesus was going to heal him, because that's implicit in Jesus telling him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and he came out seeing, the Bible says. Now, when the religious leaders of Israel heard about this, they were amazed. I mean, down in verse 32 of chapter 9, we have the blind man saying, since the beginning of the world, it's never been heard that a man healed someone who was born blind. This is an amazing miracle. And they called the man in, the rabbis did, and they wanted an explanation for what had happened. Verse 13, New King James Version of the Bible. Look, they brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees, the rabbis. And it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And the Pharisees asked him again how he received his sight. And he said to them, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. And then, as you remember from last week, an argument broke out among the Pharisees. Some saying, well, he did this on the Sabbath and broke our silly rules for the Sabbath. He can't be from God, while others said, how can a man who's not from God do something like this? Okay, now that brings us up to where we are today. So we're going to begin at verse 18. Let's put it up on the screen for you. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, whom you say was born blind? How then does he now see? And his parents answered them and said, We know, number one, that this is our son. And we know, number two, that he was born blind. Verse 21. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Now, wait a minute. Did they know who opened his eyes? Of course they did. The man had testified to his parents, of course, what had happened to him, and they knew exactly who had healed him. Well, you say, then why would they say that? Watch. But by what means, verse 21, he now sees? We do not know. Or who opened his eyes? We do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. His parents sound like they were raised in Washington, D.C. Nobody can deflect a question better than the people in Washington, D.C. And they completely deflect the question and go, ask him, he's of age. His parents spoke these words because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed that he, Jesus, was the Christ, the Messiah, that person would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. I love the movie Clear and Present Danger. And one of the famous lines from that is, Senator, I have no recollection of those events. And this is what his parents say. They say, Senator, Rabbi, I have no recollection of those events. Because they didn't want to be thrown out of the synagogue. Why? Well, because the synagogue was the center of Jewish community in these days as it is today. And if you get thrown out of the synagogue, you get cut off from all your friends. You get cut off from the Jewish life in your community. You are looked on as a pariah, and you're in a sense excommunicated. You can't come for high holiday services like Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and be there to confess your sins to God. All of that. So they didn't want that to happen. They didn't want to be embarrassed. They didn't want to be humiliated. They didn't want to be outcast. They didn't want to be ridiculed. No. So they said, I'm sorry, Senator. We have no recollection of those events. Ask him. He's old enough to answer for himself. And they go back, of course, and they ask him. And just so you see, they called him again, verse 24, the blind man, and said to him, give God the praise. We know this man is a sinner. I love this. And he answered and said, well, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. The man said, but one thing I do know is that once I was blind, and now I see. We'll talk about that next week. What a great line. Once I was blind, now I see. You rabbis didn't do it for me. I think I'll stick with him. I love this guy. All right. Now, there's our passage for today. And what is the lesson that we see in our passage today for our lives? Well, that begs another question. And you know what that question is. Are you ready? Here we go. Come on now. Say it with me. One, two, three, so what? Indeed. And you know what we love to say, my good friend Jackie Gleason. But we hold the word sweet out, remember? Here we go. Say it with me. How sweet it is. Indeed. Now, what's the takeaway from this? What's the not a sermon, just a thought from this? Well, friends, what was the problem that his parents, the parents of the man born blind, had? Well, we see Jesus codify, enunciate this problem in chapter 12. Let's look in John chapter 12 and look with me at verse 42. We'll put it up on the screen. It says, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers of Israel, many believed in him." Who would one of those people be? Probably Nicodemus, who had come to see him in John chapter 3. Maybe Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man in whose tomb he was buried, okay? Many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they be put out of the synagogue. Remember, John 9. Anybody who confessed Christ gets kicked out of the synagogue. Watch verse 43. "For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." There it is. Jesus puts it into words for us better than I ever could. They loved the approval of men more than they loved the approval of God. They cared more about what people thought of them than they did what God thought of them. They were more concerned with their popularity among people than they were with their popularity before God. We could say it many ways, but you understand what we're saying here. And that was the problem with the blind man's parents. They cared more about being members of the synagogue with all of the accoutrements that came with that, the approval of men, the fellowship with men, not being looked on as an exile or a pariah by men, not by being ridiculed or rejected by men. They cared more about that than they did whether God was happy with them. Now, folks, this is not the only time that Jesus speaks to this in the Bible. Let me direct your attention to Matthew chapter 6. Let's turn there, the Sermon on the Mount. Look with me at verse 24. Let's put it on the screen. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon is a word for earthly things, wealth, riches, human accoutrements, to use the word I just used. Jesus said you can't serve them both. Sooner or later, you got to choose. Somebody has to be on top. Either human praise or the praise of God. Either human popularity or the popularity of God. Either human approval or the approval of God. You got to choose, Jesus says. You can't have them both. They both can't be the top of your priority system. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, look what Paul says. "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, you desire to put the Lord first. His approval is most important to you, will suffer persecution, will be harassed by men, will be persecuted by men, ridiculed, ostracized." Paul ought to know. He certainly suffered a tremendous amount of that. Why? Because he put the approval of God first. And finally, I'll give you Joshua chapter 24. This is a very famous passage, and I'm reading from the New American Standard now. "And if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve." Wow. Choose, Joshua says. You got to choose one or the other, so you make the choice. "Whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you are living, in Canaan. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Pretty simple. Joshua says, you got to choose. And you know, the Pharisees, they had chosen. Look at Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 42. But woe to you Pharisees, rabbis, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, yet you pass by justice and the love of God, these second things you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Woe to you Pharisees! You love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are like graves which are not seen, and the men who walk over them are not aware of them. He says the very same thing in chapter 20 of Luke. He says in verse 46, beware of the scribes who were one of the ruling parties, the rabbis of Israel, who desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the marketplaces and the best seats in the synagogues and the best places at the feasts, and yet they devour widows' houses and for pretense, for appearance sake, make long prayers. These will receive the greater condemnation. And finally, Matthew chapter 23, it says in verse 5, but all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at the feast, the best seats in the synagogue, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Skip down with me to verse 27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside you are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. What's Jesus saying about these guys? Again and again, he says they made their choice. They care about appearance sake. They care about what men think of them. They want the best seats in the banquet, the best seats in the synagogue. They want to be honored by people in the marketplace. But on the inside, they're full of lawlessness and dead man's bones in the sight of God. And they don't care about that. They want the approval of man. Now, that's the point here, is what Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 43. For they love the approval of people more than they love the approval of God. You know, we have to be very careful, my friends. Let's bring this home now, that we don't do the same thing. And we have to choose, like Joshua said, choose whom we will serve. And when we choose, if we're really going to put the Lord first, Paul said, 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to get harassed for it. We're going to suffer for it. We're going to get persecuted for it, ridiculed for it, ostracized for it, mocked for it. Why? Because that's just the way the world is. And so therefore, let me give you some examples of where we have to choose to put God first, or we have to choose to put the approval of man first. How about when we're standing around the water cooler and someone says, hey, I got a joke for you. Well, the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, let me read it to you, verse 7, for God has not called us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. Wow, that's serious. So somebody says, hey, I got a joke for you. And you speak up and you say, hey, if it's dirty, I don't want to hear it. If it's unclean and lewd, I don't want to hear it. What's going to happen? Or maybe you just walk away. But people know that you're walking away on purpose, not by accident. They're going to make fun of you. Oh, holy Joe over there. Oh, holy Susan. Oh, they don't want to hear dirty joke. They're too clean for us. They're too holy for us. What's happening? Well, you're trying to put the approval of God first instead of the approval of man, and you're being persecuted for it. How about a bachelor party or a bachelorette party? Hey, there's some wild things that you know as well as I do can happen at these parties. And if you know about that, or you're there and it happens and you decide to walk out, or you know that's coming and you decide to skip it. I mean, look, if you're in a wedding party and they decide to have a bachelor party or a bachelorette party, and you know some really unholy things are going to happen there, and you say, I'm not coming. Man, a groomsman or a bridesmaid skipping the party? It's not going to make you real popular with everybody. No, you're going to offend some people. But you're trying to put the approval of God first. When I think of this, I think of my, not of that necessarily, but I think of my good buddy Bob Eckhart, who stood out on the streets in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and handed out tracts on Saturdays for 6 months. Man, you talk about a guy taking some persecution. People cursed at him. People laughed at him. People threw his tracts back at him. People mocked him. But I came to Christ through that, brother. And there was a guy who cared about the approval of God more than the approval of man. I was down at the Masters a few years ago with my boys. We decided we'd take a guy's trip. And we went down to the Masters for Saturday and Sunday, and we were walking in one morning, and there was a guy standing at the entrance handing out tracts. Ha! I thought, wow, this is amazing. And he was taking it on the chin too, my friends. And so I walked up to him. I said, fellas, I said to my boys, I said, give me just a second. And I walked up to him and I said to him, sir, I said, I just want to encourage you. I'm a pastor of a church and I'm a Jewish person. And I came to Christ because there was a man like you who had the courage and to stand out on the street and do what you're doing and cared more about the approval of God than he did the approval of all these people. So don't you get discouraged. You just keep doing what you're doing. There might be somebody here walking in today who was just like I was walking past that man in Chapel Hill. But he was certainly not interested in the approval of men doing something like that. Hey, how about when you're sitting around having a salad or lunch and people start slandering and gossiping other people? And you say, you know, I really don't think we should be doing this. I think this is wrong to sit here and do this behind this person's back. People are going to look at you and go, whoa, well, look at Miss Holy Roller here. Look at Mr. Holy Roller here. Doesn't want to. And they're going to harass you. But you're trying to put the approval of God ahead of the approval of men. Or what about having immodest dress as a lady? Well, the approval of people would be yours if you wear something very revealing, but the approval of God's not. Or how about the language that comes out of our mouth? I remember I was playing golf with a gentleman that came to our church and was a good acquaintance of mine, and I muffed up a shot, which was very common in my golf game, and we were talking about something related to that, and I said, you know what, I don't give a flying flip about that. And he said to me, oh my, he said, I thought you were actually going to say an adult word. And I thought about that. Praise the Lord that he had noticed I don't cuss. But when you don't ever use a curse word around people, when they're sitting around cursing, they're going to notice that. And they're going to make fun of you, like he did of me. Hey, maybe it's drinking. Maybe I can't believe I'm actually going to have to say this. But maybe it's legalized marijuana. I mean, I never thought I'd see our country start legalizing marijuana, but this is happening everywhere, it seems. So people will say to you, what's wrong with you? It's legal now. We ought to sit around and get high and smoke pot. But Ephesians 5 is very clear. Do not get drunk with wine. In the same way, do not get high on grass. Why? Keep control of yourself, but be filled with the Spirit. And people are going to make fun of you for that before long. I think I've made my point. So here's the question I'll leave you with today. Joshua chapter 24, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Can't serve both. Can't have both the approval of men and the approval of God in every situation. Now, if you can get them both, wonderful. But often you can't. So therefore, what are you and I going to do? Which are we going to choose? The parents of the man born blind made their choice. You and I have to make our choice. Let's pray. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's just take a moment and tell the Lord, hopefully, that we're prepared to choose the approval of God over the approval of men, even if it brings repercussions to our life that are not pretty and that are not nice, but we'll take the repercussions to put the approval of God first. Lord Jesus, make us people who, like Joshua, said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Make us people like the blind man who was not like his parents, but stood up and testified to Jesus. And as we're going to find out later, the rabbis cursed him and threw him out like a sack of potatoes on the street. And yet he cared more about the approval of Jesus than he did the approval of these men. Make us like these people, Lord, even in the small things of life. Give us the courage to respectfully and kindly and considerately stand for Christ and seek the approval of God above the approval of people. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what? Amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Thanks for listening today. And well, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, we're going to pick up here in John chapter 9 next week. And wow, what a great chapter. God bless you. Have a wonderful Advent season.